Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Witchful Thinking podcast. We are pieces of shit, and we haven't recorded on time for many, many weeks.
I feel like, what's that audio that says, I'm still a piece of garbage. Have you heard that one?
No. That pretty much sums us up, though. I mean, like, I'm not gonna sit up here and bash myself, but
schedules have been hard the past 2 weeks.
There's been a lot of stuff to do.
Yeah.
There's just been a lot of...
It's almost like we've gotten so busy with other things, with, like, other things on our checklist that it's thrown off our normal-ass schedules.
Yeah, we might have to, like, adjust it so that we re-record, like, one day a week after work or something when we're just, like, sitting around. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like we both have shit to do on Sundays and we're, like, rushing our shit to make sure that we sit down.
Yeah, and I don't do shit after work.
Yeah, maybe we should just, like, plan for, like, a Thursday afternoon or, like, a Wednesday. Or maybe Wednesday, since Wednesday is when we post anyways, maybe Wednesday should be when we record.
I think we do, we should totally fix our schedules to work around the Virgo season.
We'll try to be better. Happy Virgo season.
Yes.
We're excited about this. I love Virgo season. I'm a rising Virgo, and then Rose and I both have our Mars in Virgo, which, if you don't know, Mars is the planet of aggression, and it makes a lot of sense because we are the kind of people who want to get straight to the point and get shit done, and when it doesn't work out, we get fucking mad.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Oh, I wanted to ask you, so I've seen a lot of YouTube videos and just things where people, like, rate the signs, and obviously it's, like, totally biased for them, but I usually see Virgos at the top of the list. Virgos are usually one of the better ranked signs from all of the YouTube videos that I've watched.
That's funny that you said that, because somebody actually just commented on one of my older Zodiac videos from, like, 2 years ago, and they said Virgos are fucking assholes.
That's hilarious.
I didn't respond.
I mean, I'm sure that I know a lot of Virgos, and I'm really just trash at birthdays, but the biggest Virgo that I knew was an ex of mine, so I obviously kind of have negative feelings about Virgos. No, I love you.
I've never known a Virgo male. I've never met a Virgo male in my life. I've only had friends who are Virgos. My friend Amy, I know she listens to this podcast, Amy's a Virgo, and she is, like, really the only standard, I guess, besides my own behavior that I have to hold Virgo women to. Mm-hmm. I like them. I'm biased, though, because it's in my chart, and I feel very strongly about that. But I don't know. I think Virgos every sign gets a bad rep for many different reasons. Virgos get a bad rep for being, like, control freaks, very, like, particular, and I think it's fucking funny.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I know a Virgo, a female Virgo. Not off the top of my head. I'm sure that I do know, but yeah, I don't have anything to compare to for Virgo women. But that's what I did experience with a Virgo male, was controllingness and being very particular and throwing hissy fits when it doesn't go as planned.
Yeah, I could totally see an undeveloped Virgo being extremely type A, very, you know, gets super, super anxious about absolutely everything. If something doesn't go according to plan, it's like everything just in their eyes, it should just go to shit. Like, if it doesn't go according to their plan, it's nobody's plan.
Yeah, super perfectionist, which I think is also, like, also something about our Mars being in Virgo and, like, aggressive, because sometimes, I mean, I'm a perfectionist, and I feel like you're a perfectionist, and when things don't go our way, like, we're freaking pissed about it, because it didn't go perfect.
Yeah, and then, like, so we'll get really pissed about it, but at the same time, since we're Cancers, we're water signs, we also, like, don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, so we get mad behind the scenes, and we, like, bitch about it hardcore, but aren't willing to, like, step up and do anything about it.
Yeah, pretty much, and if I bitch about it for long enough, I'll just end up crying.
Yep. Yep, pretty much. Taylor and I were talking today, I was telling her about, I don't know why I read this. I either heard it in a podcast or I probably heard it in a podcast, but apparently, so two things. One, apparently as people get older, they identify more and more with their rising sign. And I've always just felt a lot like I identify with being a Virgo in many aspects of my life, because I get, you know, so upset when, like, as a Cancer, my home is my most important place, but as a rising Virgo, my home is my most important place, and if everything's not just so, I have a mental breakdown. And then the second thing, there's a YouTuber named Astro Kit, and she posts, like, a lot of astrology videos, and she had posted in one of their videos telling people in the very beginning, which I'd never seen another YouTuber do this, she does all of her astrology according to your rising sign. She doesn't do sun signs, she doesn't do moon signs, it's all rising, because when astrology first became a big thing, like, back in the, I don't know, I don't want to say 80s, but I keep thinking 80s. What was in the newspaper as your horoscope for the week was your rising sign, not your sun sign.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. And I've heard the same thing kind of recently too, but I didn't know that, like, back in the day in the newspaper, they would put your rising sign in there. That's kind of cool.
That just makes it, I don't know. I always read my rising horoscope too to see if it resonates with me.
And I still highly rely on apps because I'm still memorizing what all the terms mean. But to clarify, your rising sign is, like, how you project yourself to the world, right? Or is it how other people see you?
Yeah, it's like how other people see you, pretty much, like, if they you didn't come out and tell them, like, oh, I'm a Cancer, the way you come off to them, your energy that comes off initially is, like, your ascendant, rising, your energy, whatever. And
okay, so that's interesting, because I have also felt very strongly about my rising sign, which is Aquarius. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, the sign that is mistaken for being a water sign, because I think I give off strong water sign energy. If you don't know what I am, I think you could probably guess I'm a water sign, but then I'm almost like, ha, bitch, I have air sign qualities too. I don't know. And I'm still, like, learning all this stuff, but Aquarius, what are the, like, key things for Aquarius? Do you know so much more about this than I do?
So Aquarius people, I always feel like people think of them as the weird fucks of the zodiac. They're, like, real unpredictable and, like, super artsy, most of them, and just, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of the ones, I have a lot of Aquarius, like, female friends, and they always have this quality of, I really don't give a fuck, because at the end of the day, I'm cooler than everybody in here. Mm-hmm. But I don't feel like I gotta put that in everyone's face because everyone already knows I'm cool. I don't know. I think they're very interesting. They're very alluring.
Yeah. Well, I'd say I'm, like, a weird fuck that likes art too, so.
I'm a weird fuck that likes art. We're living in the Aquarius age right now.
Oh, are we?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we are living in the Aquarius age, and let me look that up real quick. Aquarius age, because I'm pretty sure it, you know, when you look that up, it means it's got a lot to do about shit changing on a
big
level.
big decision making, and I thought I saw a day that's like wrap it up by this date for your decision, and I can't remember what the date is. And it's like
So,
August, I think.
Astrology for Aquarius is a website, and it says the world population clock estimates at midnight on December 31st, 2019, that there were, wait. Oh, it's telling us how many people are in the world. No, fuck that. I don't care about that. Hold on. The old order, Pisces. So Pisces, the fish, that's like Jesus. Like we're coming, we have still been in Pisces age for so long. Like that's Jesus times, and we're just now getting out of that and moving into the age of Aquarius. The old order, Pisces, is collapsing or decaying, and in its place, there's turmoil, disarray, and in 2020, the dangerous and demanding world environment is defined by energy events in the Aquarian age chart and the position of the vernal equinox. So it also goes on to say this was published very long ago, people, by the way. So nobody's cheating. Nobody's just all the shit that's been happening this year. No one went back and wrote this. In 2020, there will be a race for military dominance, and the big powers are moving fast to win the new space race and the weight race for quantum superiority. Oh,
Shit,
oh,
that's heavy.
God, dude, that's
That's
like.
a lot. And that you're like, that's not even, that hasn't even scratched the surface of what has happened. But yes, all of those things have happened, and there was more on top of that.
I'm still waiting for the Astro Twins prediction about how our currency is going to change to come true. Because, whenever I think of that, I think of the coin shortage.
Right. What
Yeah.
is happening right now?
Exactly. We were just in Home Depot today getting paint, and there was a sign that was like, "We're going through a national coin shortage. You need to use exact change or don't fucking use any at all because you're not going to get any back."
Nathan's work also, they have signs all over the place and they can't give you change back because they don't have change, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah, people
Which
don't
I know
want
there's
to
like a
touch
lot
anything.
of, so I haven't, it's been a while since I've like heard the prediction, but I don't know. I guess I don't know enough about it to know like, is it good or bad? I mean, I guess it put, it like gives the government more control over our money if we don't have cash and things. But I honestly like, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but I don't really know what to think about the cash shortage, and like what that, how that could, have future implications and what those are.
Yeah, I don't know too much either. Everything I've learned about it, I've learned through listening to other people's podcasts. But the only thing I thought that all of this was just because people, one, people are out of work, and two, people have not wanted to exchange things by hand. Like if you can just use your debit card, that's like the safest way to make sure you're not accidentally touching someone else's hands or like passing germs on, because money is dirty as fuck anyways. Money's filthy.
I feel like it's, a lot of people are doing online shopping right now because they don't want to go out to stores. And then I feel like, not that young people don't carry cash, but the older generation, I feel like probably has more cash on hand at them with them. And then, young people, I mean, there's definitely young people that carry around cash, but we're probably more likely just to use our debit card. And but I don't know. I hate carrying cash, so like I don't know what that means for other things, but like if we went cashless, that doesn't really bother me at the moment, but I'm like uneducated about the whole thing. So
Yeah,
I'm
I did hear somewhere they were saying something about like people think it's going to be a way to make sure that nobody can get their money out of the bank or something. I don't know. We should probably look into it, to be honest.
I know. Well, yeah, no, I guess that makes sense. I mean, there was a time when I was traveling and I had zero cash and all I needed to do was transfer some money and the whole bank system went down and I was like trying to get
Oof.
a rental car and I could not, like I called customer service and like they couldn't transfer it for me because like they essentially lost power and they all had like dead computers and I was stuck at an airport for a few hours because I couldn't get access to my money. So
Yeah, that's
there's things about it that I need to do more research on.
I just looked up. There's
also so many things to do research on nowadays.
Right? Everything, I'm just like, I gotta look that up. I need to learn more.
Damn time from the last thing I had to figure the fuck out.
So here we go. Salon.com is talking about the coin shortage, and it says, in other words, there are plenty of coins to go around. They're just stuck in jars and on dressers. The task force has said as much. People have changed their spending habits. Coin-intensive businesses and financial institution lobbies have been less accessible. The nation's coin is pooling in change jars, cup holders, shuttered businesses, making it difficult for the businesses of this country to get the coin that they need to support cash transactions. So, I mean, what's it going to take? People just not holding on to their coins?
Right. Yeah. I don't know how to solve that problem. I hate coins. I really do. Mm-hmm. They weigh 200 pounds in your purse or wherever the heck you're carrying them around.
And they're only good for, like, toll roads. I don't even go on toll roads.
Yeah. Actually, that did help me one time because when I was moving out here, the very first toll we got to, we didn't even think to stop and get cash. The very first toll in like West Virginia or something was cash only, and it was $1. And we didn't have any cash, and we pulled over on the interstate right before this toll, and we were out pulling the mats up, like literally collecting coins, and we did get $1.
God damn.
I'm like, shit. And that's all they were good for.
That sucks so bad. I just really, I just stay away from tolls because money is just, I don't want anyone to ever have a reason to break it. Like to see change in my car and break in, because you know there's plenty of bums out there who will do that. I haven't carried cash since I was a server. That's been over like,
yeah,
same. Over 3 years.
Yeah.
But yeah, when I was a server, I was packing the heat. You could catch me on any given day with $400 in my pocket. Yes.
And I actually had, a Ziploc little reusable bag that I kept in my side door that I just dumped all my change at the end of the night into that bag because I didn't want to carry it around. And then I would go take that giant bag to like those, what, Coinstars mm-hmm. inside of the grocery store. And be that person and dumping all my coins. But yeah, I don't know. I definitely have to do more research on it. But god damn it, there's just so many things happening right now. Can I just get a breather? Just one. God damn it, there's freaking, for the first time like ever, there are two hurricanes that are gonna hit the East Coast at the same time.
Yeah, that freaks me out.
And you guys already are dealing with way too much rain and flooding. And then where I'm at is on fire. We have 11 fires in Colorado that already have blown smoke all over the state. And now it started like two or three days ago, the smoke from California reached here. So now we're double the smoke.
And it's like fire, water, earth, and air. Are we going to start having earthquakes? Like, that would be the earth part. And then what if we had tornadoes or something? That would be the air element.
Shit. Honestly, I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah.
That freaks me out.
What else? What else can... And then I stopped myself mid-sentence like I'm going to do right now because I'm not going to ask that question.
Yeah, let's not like invite anything else. So, with Virgo season, Virgo is a very like earthbound sign, and Virgo is also represented as the witch, which that's like another, I love the fact that Virgo is the witch because it just makes me feel very seen and very special.
I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, and I think it's partially because this part of the year, I mean, this part of the, soon it's going to start getting darker earlier, and like it's just, it's very witchy in general, but in the Numinous Astro deck, Virgo is drawn as a black witch, and I just think that's the fucking coolest thing ever. And on the card, it actually says, this untamable witch understands the inherent magic and rhythms of the earth, the pleasures and promises of some purgative solitude, and the divinity in each imperfectly perfect detail of the natural world. Like, they're very... just very earthy, very grounded.
That's really cool because we're starting, fall technically starts in Virgo season, right? Is it September 21st? Is that the first day of fall?
I think so, yeah. Is it the equinox? Fall equinox?
I think so.
I need to be better about this, but I'm just not.
And I follow this Instagram page, and it's called The Mantra Co. And she posted something for like Virgo season rituals and like what Virgo season is good for. And she said, right now it's good to trust in divine timing, eat mindfully, journal your thoughts, and meditate with crystals, and like pay attention to the divine timing. She has like paying attention to like numerology. And it just seems like it's a very magical time. And even though Virgos are so much about perfection, I like that they're telling everybody to stop being a perfectionist, because like you're probably going to feel those tendencies right now.
Yeah. And I mean, Virgo season is like, well, the best, I won't say best, but like a really good time to clean your house and like do deep cleaning and stuff and actually put your perfectionist tendencies in the right spot. Like if you want a spotless house, it's pretty, I mean, it's, I don't know, I think it's a good thing to pull on that energy if you really, if you're going to put it into anything, you might as well put it into not having a nasty, dirty house.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Use them for like something that's going to, there's like definitely a good time for perfectionist tendencies, but like, don't let it wreck you on something. I've been so productive. I actually told myself, I looked in the mirror today and I was like, you were productive today. I'm proud of you. And I got up at 10 a.m., which is like very early for me, because on the weekend I'll sleep until 1 p.m. and not get anything done. And I woke up, I showered, I vacuumed, actually like made myself a fresh lunch and did some homework. And I feel very accomplished. And I haven't felt that accomplished in the weekend in a while. And you're like painting rooms and like, it's just, yeah, it's definitely a time to do some of the things on your task list.
I didn't find this. Taylor sent it to me and I sent it to Rose because I just thought it was funny and I thought that we should play it and see how many things we can check off. But there's an infographic on the Numinous Instagram page and it's called Virgo Season Bingo. So I thought that we could look at it. Already some of them I'm like, no. But so the first one on this thing says, Virgo season bingo, buying more plants than furniture. I will check that off myself. Yes.
Yep. I don't have any living plants in my apartment right now because I have such bad lighting. But I have seen, and then I kill them. It's not the lighting's fault, but I kind of blame it on the lighting sometimes. But I kill a lot of plants, and I have to work on that. But I've been wanting to buy plants recently, and I've been pinning a lot of plants on Pinterest. that's where I'm, like, scratching the itch.
Drew, you got to start off small before you, like, go and buy all these crazy plants, like orchids and shit that needs all this attention.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Leaving if your date is 5 minutes late. I haven't done that. I'm not actively dating. Like I have a fiance, so that doesn't count, but I would do that.
Yeah. Same.
I would 100%. I'd be like, are you kidding me? Right. You have the respect to text me or anything?
Yeah. Yeah. No, same.
The next one, I have an herb for that. I'm not huge on herbs. Are you?
I'm kind of like, I have a tea for that. Mm-hmm. like when my stomach hurts, I'm like, oh, I need to go get a lemon ginger tea. And so I feel like, and teas are, I get, yeah, teas are herbs, I guess. So I kind of feel that way with tea. And when I have a headache or when I need to fall asleep, I'll get a lavender tea or mint for after lunch. I don't know. I've been the I have a tea for that person recently.
Makes a to-do list for a to-do list that is 100% on point. Yes.
Yep.
You make lists, and does it make you feel like, even if you're making a list for, you know, bills you have to pay in the month, it's not a fun list to make, but does it just kind of make you feel a little bit more organized?
Yeah. Yeah. When I always have to make a list of my lists, and my biggest reason is because I'm very, very forgetful, and I forget about all of the lists that I make. So I have a list that keeps track of those, so I don't forget about the lists that I've made.
You need one of those list books.
I do.
The whole thing is just lists that you can fill in. That's so Virgo. That's such a, like, I want to overwhelm myself with a bunch of lists. Mm-hmm. No, just to make, I don't know, I kind of get, like, get a, like, a weird satisfaction out of making lists of things I want to do, or like, oh, I made a list one time of, this is a list of a list. I made a list of all the different types of lists that I needed to make about shopping. I was like, okay, I want one day where all I do is buy candles. I want one day where all I do is buy new bras. I want one day where all I do is buy books. One day where all I do is buy rugs. That was by far the most Virgo shit I've done in a long time.
Okay, when it comes to lists, the most Virgo thing about me is, so I have to have lists with shit that I do at work. And the two biggest reasons I use lists is because I have to fill out a timesheet with, like, every, I have to almost, like, essentially, I have to charge my time to different tasks that I'm doing because they get billed differently at the engineering firm I work at. It's boring, but I don't remember what I had for dinner last night, let alone what I've been doing all week long. I wish I could just write down important shit and that's all you need to know, but I have to keep a list to know exactly what I did. And also, I get the biggest thrill out of checking things off or scratching them off the list. And when the list is totally scratched off and complete, that is, like, the most satisfying thing ever. And I feel super accomplished. And I, like, have to, like, visibly see them all scratched off.
Yeah. I think that goes in a little bit with Mars and Virgo. Like, wanting
and it's color-coded, too.
Wanting to be very, like, detail-oriented and, like, mm-hmm. very, you got, like, a, you just want to get shit done.
Okay, and I'm pretty sure I can guess that your closet is color-coded. Yeah. Mine is color-coded.
My rack I have in my room, all of that, I color-code it according to the season. So if it's, like, about to be summer, I'll have a lot of, like, deep mustard colors and, like, greens and earthy tones, and then as it gets to be fall, I'll have some deep burgundies and, like, still keeping my rust colors, some navy, like, dark green. And I realized the other day, I finally just figured out my color scheme. It is a rusty orange brown, it's deep green, mm-hmm. white, beige, and terracotta. I think that's, like, me.
Yeah, I think so. That is so funny because I think I have a similar-ish color scheme, but I color code my closet. I'm very big on, like, undertones. So my color coding is, like, the warm tones of my closet, and then I put neutrals in the middle and then cool tones mm-hmm. on the right side. So it goes warm tone, neutrals, and cool tone, so they could all blend together in my head if I wanted them to. Let's see. Okay, so I'm envisioning my closet and going, starting with the cool tones, because I have white and black and creams in the middle. So they divide between my cool tones, which are, like, blues and greens. And I like a deep navy, and, like, I have a lot of deep denim in my closet, kind of blue. And then the green is definitely, like, the army green, maybe, like, an olivey color. And then on the other side, I just have magentas, like purples, and some light pinks and blushes, and some tans, and, like, that's it.
Sounds very appealing.
all year round. It's always coded by tones.
That's so appealing. I love a good, like, I love a good closet that doesn't have a million and one, like, bright colors that just don't fit anywhere. Like, if you've got, like, a random, like, hot pink dress, I would, like, I would throw it out, even if it was the most comfortable piece of clothing ever, because I am an asshole, and I don't want hot pink in my closet. I'm just like, no.
Same.
But I would never buy anything hot pink.
The one, I own one article of clothing that I wear outside the house that goes against all of my color schemes, and it's because it's something I bought as a support campaign for my queen AOC, and I rep her merch, and it's bright orange. Don't love it, but I love her, so I wear it.
Wait, who is AOC?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Who is she's that?
She's the New York congresswoman, and she was, like, 2 years ago, she was a server, and she just has, like, such an inspiring story, and she's very for the people, and she supports the Green New Deal and healthcare for everybody, and essentially democratic socialism, which is what I support, and she is, like, probably my biggest, just someone who I look up to a lot, and people put her down because she's a woman. She's a woman of color, and she's very young, and she didn't come from money. And she says, fuck you to all those people, and I just love that.
Anyways, back to the bingo. All right. Overthinking an email from last year. I think I overthink texts from yesterday. Like,
I wouldn't even classify this as something that I do just in Virgo season. This is something I do all the time, and I overthink anything that has possibly come out of my mouth that I thought I could have said differently, I wish I wouldn't have said, or sometimes conversations where I didn't even say anything at all and I wish I did, from like middle school, random things that I may have said to a babysitter in the second grade, like that is a big part of my anxiety. That sparks my anxiety, and it happens all the time. I should pay attention if that happens more in this season, because it happens to me all the time. But I wonder if it happens more in Virgo season.
Yeah, small details, man.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Let's see. Okay, this one I don't understand at all. Collecting napkins? Who the fuck collects napkins?
I think when I read that, I think it's just like collecting like weird little shit kind of things, you know, like what do you mean you collect napkins?
Well, what else, what do we collect that has like no real purpose? Like, I don't think I hold on to anything that is that stupid.
I think it's like, and it also depends on probably who you're asking. Technically any little collection could be said that way, because like we collect crystals, and I don't think that's stupid.
No. To each their own, I guess. I'm sure some people are like, that's ridiculous, like why do you carry around little fucking rocks?
I've been trying to like not be a minimalist, but I'm trying to be like less of a junky person and hold on to, because I am definitely have hoarding tendencies. And I feel like if I used to collect anything, I mean, like, I used to collect canvases, and I had to, like, tell myself to stop, because I have legit, like, 70 blank canvases.
I can attest to that. She literally had, like, 30.
I have more now. Like, it's so much. And then, any little thing that I could use for a craft. So, like, I would find, like, my grandma would make something and she'd have this little butt end of a piece of lace. And I'd be like, I want that, grandma, I can use that. And like, I never used it.
I'd be so, like that.
I feel like any collection could be like that, but it's probably like, yeah, there are definitely some things that are like weirder than others, but I don't collect napkins.
Yeah, pass on that. The next one is gets turned on by the correct use of there, and there. I will say yes. Also, I get turned on by the correct use of your and your. And also when people use commas correctly.
Mm-hmm. For me, I would say it's more like it is a turn on, but I would say it's more a turn off. Like the second I see you using that incorrectly,
yeah,
I'm gonna look at you different.
Yeah. You're not going to get me with the autocorrect. I don't believe you. No. I don't believe you. Yeah, I agree. It's less of a turn on when people use it correctly. I expect it for people to use it correctly. And it's more of a, what the fuck? Like,
when you don't.
What's your actual, oh, wait, hold on. Before we get to the last one, I just got to say, my eyebrow's growing back. Do you see it? It's growing back.
Oh, I see it. Go, eyebrow, go.
She's like growing in like down here too. I don't know what's up with that, but she's almost back.
She's almost back and dangerous.
Someone messaged me the other day and they were saying that they listened to the last episode and that they lost their shit because they used to live in Nothic and they were laughing really hard at our use of Nothicians.
Okay, I'm so glad that somebody can attest to that.
Yeah, they were like, no, it's Nothic. Like, she is right. I'm like, it Norfolkians.
Yeah.
The last one in the bingo is color coding your bookshelf, and that already goes without saying, absolutely. Like, I know that we color code tons of things.
So I actually, like, I redesign my bookshelf every couple of months. And, I mean, it's like, not only is it holding all of my favorite books, but I like want that to be very aesthetically pleasing. And I, every few months, take everything off and redesign it with a new color code pattern or something like that.
Do you ever use the rule of three?
Yes.
I love that. It makes a bookshelf like so eye-catching and like very appealing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I was looking at a Virgo tag on Instagram just for something funny, and everything is just writing them out to be like rude, standoffish, which I am very. Oh wait, I forgot to tell you. Okay, so Kayla and I were talking the other day. We do this a lot where we'll talk about our first impressions of each other before we really got to know each other. And I've always really categorized myself kind of as like a standoffish person when you first meet me, because I'm not buddy buddy with everybody upon meeting them. Like there's been very few instances, and you were one of them, where I immediately clicked with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And with most people, like, I wouldn't consider myself rude by any means, but I don't do small talk. I'm just not interested in it. Like,
same.
You want to have a full on conversation, that's fine, but I don't know. Apparently I just come off very like.
I get that exact same thing, except I don't get standoffish. I get like, oh, I thought you were just quiet and shy and reserved, but because I'm not buddy buddy with anybody that I meet. And yeah, I feel like we definitely had to like know each other from a past life, because the second we met, we clicked. And I mean, I also hate fucking small talk, and I just put up a wall. And before you're ever really gonna like know me as a person, like I have to know you as a person.
Yeah.
For me, I gotta know you first, because I'm like, nope, I gotta kind of control this situation, because like when I was younger, I always just, I didn't really know what that was, and I was like, well, I'm really weird, and I need to know how weird they are before I can like let my weirdness out, and that's like all I knew how to say it. Maybe that's the Aquarius in me, that weirdo-ness. But yeah, so I feel the same. And so like, you, when you met Kayla, is that what you said you were,
did you? Yeah. When we finally, I think that, so because my company has always been virtual, like every new person, you typically don't get to meet them for a few months in person until we have like our quarterly conferences, which we haven't had this year because of COVID. But the very first time that we talked to each other, she emailed me back from an automated email that went out from me. And I was just like, I guess, I don't know. I was probably being an asshole, but she emailed me back thinking that I had manually sent her this email, and it was supposed to go out to customers, and but it also would go out to new people so they could get the hang of like how our email campaigns work. Mm-hmm. And it was basically an email asking her if she needed me to send her this package in the mail. And she messaged me back. She goes, "No, I work here." I immediately messaged her and I was like, "No, I know you work here. I did not send you that email." Like, so fucking rude. Like, and now we're best friends.
Oh my God.
Not nice. And just like, she's like, "I don't know, I just thought you hated me." And then you offered to drive me to the first like in-person conference. I was like, maybe she doesn't hate me. I'm like, I gotta check that Virgo energy. That is what that is.
So that's probably what I experienced. So I don't get standoff. Like I said, I get like quiet, reserved, or I get like, I thought you were stuck up. Like people like think that I'm stuck up. And what I got a lot in high school, and I always, I mean, I think it's a combination of Virgo energy, and like I came from a very prissy prep, or not prep school, a very prissy private school. And so when I showed up, everybody was like, "Oh, you're the bitchy little private school girl, and you probably think that you're better than everybody else here, so we don't want to talk to you." And a lot of people hated me in high school. And I'm like, "But I've never even spoken to you." And I couldn't even understand it. But a lot of people think that I am also kind of just like unapproachable sometimes. It depends on the situation. And it's changed throughout my life because I think I'm approachable now, but I'm still not going to like be 100% Liz until I know like 100% you.
Yeah, which when you think about it, like, it's not very fair of us to feel like that, because why should anyone give us all of them when we're like over here giving 50%? But it's like, yeah, a super selfish. Yeah. It is selfish. Why the hell do we do this?
It's, I think it's a control thing. And for me, I have like people pleasing tendencies that I'm trying to work through. And I don't want to like let anybody down with my personality, almost, maybe, or like who I am. Like, "Oh, I thought you were gonna be this." And so I'm just like, "You're just not gonna know me at all. And then one day I'm gonna come up and tell you every little thing on your lunch break about me."
Yeah, I get that. I read something the other night. I've started reading a book called Three Women, and it's by Lisa Todaro. And there's a lot of like, I think the whole thing is actually true, but there was something, there's a line in the book where the girl is like, "What would it feel like to be completely known by another person? Like the parts of you that you're like, no one is ever gonna understand exactly how my head works at all times of the day. Imagine if you met someone who they knew this, they could just knew exactly what you were feeling at every moment. Just like, would that be comfortable or uncomfortable?"
Both. It would be both. I mean, I guess you could kind of say that's like your higher self.
Mm-hmm.
Your higher self knows everything that you've gone through and that you're going to go through, and all your, the dirty little things you think are your secrets that nobody can know. And your higher self knows all the good things about you. But yeah, I mean, I mean, it would obviously be different if like you can like sit down and have dinner with that person. That would be insane. And it would be like comforting and so discomforting at the same time. Yeah, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
I feel like in the instance, say that you were jealous over something that you'd be very embarrassed to admit you were jealous about. Like, okay, say that you were jealous over your two friends that you introduced starting to hang out without you, but you were also friends with this person who could like read your mind practically. I would be really embarrassed to like know that someone else knew that I was jealous over something like that. That's like one of those very embarrassing, envious feelings. Everyone's felt it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because I mean, you know, all the good things you do throughout the day, or not even good things, neutral things,
kind of whiz by, but like when you do something that's embarrassing, like you'll think about it all day long and it's like stuck in your head. And if you knew somebody else heard that thought or saw you do that or whatever it was, like that one, that's almost like, I don't know, that's like one of your coworkers finding out something so bad about you that you have to quit. Or like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
There are totally things that, like, if my coworkers knew something that I would never tell my coworkers, like, sure as hell I'd quit and never see any of your faces again.
It's very, like, I don't know. It's kind of like the feeling of when someone looks at a diary or, like, your phone, like, goes through your phone or something, gets, like, information that you just aren't trying to share with anybody. Like, I kind of liken it to that almost. But at the same time, it's also, like, kind of this weirdly special, like, romantic feeling, too. Just, like, think of if someone, like, how badly do you want to truly be known? Because we always say things like, people, like, no one understands it, or I don't think anyone really gets it, or, like, I can be so close with this person, that person, my husband, wife, whatever, mm-hmm. but, like, who knows the true me? Do I even know the true me? And, like, but how much do you really want someone to know the true you? Because would they even want you still?
Yeah, I almost also think of that as, like, your spirit guide, or your guardian, or your angel, or whoever's looking over you. Because then when you do something embarrassing, you're like, did you see that?
You like fall down and bust your ass and you're like, spirit guide, don't tell.
Don't tell the others.
Don't tell. I hear you up there talking spiritual shit. I don't know. I just like, I keep thinking of that, like playing with that idea in my mind of just like, that's a lot to ask if you thought, like, if you were asking, I want to meet someone who gets me inside and out, that's very good and very bad, because you couldn't hide
anything.
Do you feel like there's anybody in this world that truly knows who you are when, like, the door is closed? Who could, like, predict how you're going to act even when they're not around?
I think Nathan could to an extent. He's, like, he knows me very well, and there's a lot of times that, like, and he's almost that person. I mean, he's obviously not inside my head and he doesn't know everything, but he knows a lot, and he's like, I call him out on his shit when he's being, you know, his overconfident self, and he calls me out on my shit when I do things, and he's like, I know you're doing this because you are, and you know, he, yeah, and I don't like it because I'm, like, being caught out on my shit. And I'm like, God damn it. I wanted to win this one. But, yeah, I do that, I guess. So I'd say he's the closest who could maybe, like, for sure predict my behavior. I think that I'm – I don't want to say that I'm predictable, but I'm totally predictable. And honestly – I think if you live with me long enough, I think I'm just, yeah, I'm a very predictable person. I'm a creature of habit. But I think, yeah, he's probably the closest. But there's still things that, you know, he's not inside my head all day long.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know everything. He knows a lot, but...
I feel like the closest that most people get to having somebody that, like, just feels what they feel are people who are twins.
Yeah.
Twins will be, like, they can feel the other's pain, or, like, there have been cases where twins know when the other one dies.
Yeah. Or, like, twin flames.
Yeah.
Or, like, twin flame people who aren't, like, biologically twins, but, like, they're spiritually twins.
Dude, we need to do an episode about that.
We do.
Twin flames. Yeah. Fuck yeah. We gotta write that one down. That's freaking cool. That's another thing. Okay. Another reason that we've been just unable to make ourselves sit down is sometimes I feel like both of our brains are racing so much that we're like, I have so many things to say. I don't even know where to sit down and talk about it for an hour, and just like, so we just like don't.
Yeah. Story of my freaking life. having so much that I want to do and so much to say and getting so overwhelmed with it that I do literally nothing.
I've started to feel so overwhelmed with stuff like that that I'm like considering trying to find a therapist, but like it sounds very ignorant of me. I just like don't, well, not ignorant, maybe careless. I just don't want to spend money on it. I get frustrated at the fact that like my fucking brain doesn't work correctly and like I've got to spend money to get someone to help me on it. But at the same time, I'm like a huge advocate for therapy. Yeah. And I'm just like, but I don't really want to spend $100 a week on a fucking therapist.
Yeah. It's, that's one of the reasons why it took me a long time. I actually have my first therapy session tomorrow I haven't seen a therapist. I don't know. I was in high school for sure the last time I saw a therapist. And one of the reasons was definitely financial. And I even have health insurance and I was still worried about what it was going to cost me and if I could afford it with health insurance. And because depending on the amount that you need to see that person, like it's one thing if you have a therapy session once a month, but like sometimes you need more, you need one a week. There are people who go to therapy every day and that adds up for sure.
Can't imagine going to therapy every day. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know. I feel like, and I haven't even like had my first session yet. So I don't know how I'll feel afterwards, but I think I want to try to do like 2 a month. That's like my initial thought, is like every 2 weeks to have one, mm-hmm. See how it goes. But I'm also, I think another thing that stopped me for a while is, so like a therapy session is like an hour usually, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that. Or you pay by the hour usually. And I am overwhelmed thinking about how am I going to catch this woman up on 25 years of trauma?
Yes. Oh my, like, where do you start?
Like, I almost wish that my therapist was someone who already knew me in a way, because I'm like, all right, we're going to have the first month of sessions, 2 months of sessions is going to be me catching you up on the deal. Like, there's so freaking much that I don't even remember at all. Like, you're going to have to put me in hypnotherapy to bring these memories back to me. There's so much I can't even remember to tell you. Like, that, so honestly, that's, as I have anxiety about even like going, and it's like, because I feel like I can't even start talking about what I want to talk about right now, because like she needs to know the backstory, right? I don't know. And then I'm like, that's overwhelming, so I just won't go. And that's how it's been.
I think with a lot of like the good therapists is like you go in there with an initial problem and then they ask the correct questions to extract what happened in your past that's causing you to like have this problem now. Yeah. But I totally get that. Like thinking you have to go in there and you're like, my parent died and then my other parent died and then this happened and then this happened and I don't know how to handle it. And it's just like, how the fuck far back do you go? Do you go back to your childhood?
Yeah, because things started young. So like, how far do you want to go back? I guess you're right, though. They do probably in the beginning, and they get to know all those details of your life by the questions that they ask. But yeah, that's honestly, anxiety has been what has prevented me from going, but also the American healthcare system, for sure.
Yeah, the American healthcare system's absolute trash. If there's anybody out there who listens, I know there's plenty of people out there who listen and they're not in America, because I can see on the little map, like, we have listeners in, like, Turkey and shit.
Do we have any Canadians?
I don't know. I think we do. I have, like, one Canadian friend that I'm pretty sure she listens, but I'm not sure of anybody else.
So, Nathan and I are dead serious about, like, maybe moving to Canada in, like, 5 years. Like, legit. And if there are any Canadians listening, you should definitely reach out, because I have some questions for you about your life in Canada, because I'm going off of his YouTube videos right now. I want to travel, but we can't because of the coronavirus.
But we're kind of legitimately considering that.
Depending on what happens in October and November, I am in agreement with that. The only thing is, though, is that Canada is fucking cold as shit, and I'm not cool with that.
I'm okay with that. I don't like the heat.
So I don't either, but I don't like the so cold that my bones hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
So. But, one thing I remember with therapy is the one thing that really, I guess I tried not to think about it when I was in therapy when I was younger. The fact that you're literally like on someone else's time, like you're on a clock, and like you have to, you know, as a therapist, like how do you watch the clock while not breaking eye contact with your patient? Like, do you just like look up real quick when they're like looking down at their lap as they're crying and you're like, oh God, they're still crying. Like, how do I kick them out of my office?
That is such a valid, I'm sure that when you go to school to be a therapist, and I know there's like multiple degrees you could get, I'm sure they go over that because yeah, how the fuck do you say, hey, so I know that we're still working through this and you're still crying, but you know, Jamie here is my next appointment and you really gotta go. Yeah, how does that work? Or yeah, I never really saw my therapists looking up at the clock either, but I am not someone who always makes eye contact. Like when I think, I kind of look off into the distance. Like I'm usually never looking someone in the eye for an entire hour conversation.
Yeah. So I don't really remember what my therapist did. I do know we never ended a session with me crying though. She at least had it end after I dried up a little bit, but like, I don't know. I remember like my ex saying things about like therapy is like, I would get therapy shamed. You'd be like, therapy is fucking dumb. Why would you ever want to pay someone to listen to you? Like, that's got to make you feel like crap about yourself. Like, who wants to pay someone to listen to their problems? I'm like, people go to school for many, many years to be able to help strangers objectively from the outside looking in. Kind of want to say I trust their judgment a little bit better than some of my friends who don't have fucking degrees and who are invested in my life and my problems, unlike a therapist.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck's up with therapy shaming? Like, I think it's an art form just like anything else. Fucking okay. Pay people for it.
Sure. Yeah. I think, I mean, therapy, I'm not 100% certain on this, but I mean, like, you know, mental health in general, especially in the area that we grew up in, it's such a taboo thing to talk about. I really only ever talked about therapy with my mom, and like that was it. And even when I was going to therapy, like I really wasn't talking about it with my friends. Like, it was a very personal, private thing. I kind of didn't want people to know that I was going to therapy because I immediately had, like when I was in high school, oh, they're gonna think there's like something literally really wrong with you if you're going to therapy. And it was just a, since mental health was so taboo, like therapy was kind of taboo. And then there definitely were people who were like, that's a stupid thing to pay for. You could go talk to whoever. And I think that's just ignorance. You know, they obviously, they haven't seen the benefit of them and it doesn't affect them. So they're not going to see the importance of it. But
yeah,
I never got therapy shame, but I was I kept it a secret because I was fearful of therapy shame.
And a lot of people who act like that and think that they have a say in like how someone else is handling their mental health with a professional, they might be bitter that like nobody ever as a kid, like nobody ever looked at them and was like, you probably need help getting through this. Like they feel like mad about it or something. I feel like I was always pretty open about the fact that I was seeing somebody, but also I was doing it in college and not in like elementary school or like middle school. I did go in elementary school for my temper tantrums. I remember that. And then my therapist ended up being my professor in college and she remembered me.
Holy shit.
Wow. Yeah. Her name was Dr. Get this shit. Dr. Robin Hawk. Two bird names.
Oh, their parents did them dirty.
No, she married. She married someone with the last name Hawk, and I guess she was just
did her dirty.
Fuck it, Robin Hawk. And I was like,
there you go.
Then I saw her in class, and I was like, you were my therapist as a kid. And she looked at me, and she's like, was I? And I was like, yeah, you bribed me to be good with stickers.
That is so funny. I was not open at all that I was going to therapy. And also, I was going to therapy when I was attending that very prissy private Christian school, and they were very judgmental. And I think they almost had we never talked about mental health at all. You know, if you're experiencing any kind of depression or sadness or whatever it is, like, you need to talk to God, not to a therapist, was the answer you'd get. And it's even people who ran that school, teachers and principals, and the answer was never therapy. It was like, you need to go to church and not to therapy. So I definitely didn't like let that slide when I was at school, because then they'd go back and like literally harass my parents about why they were sending me to therapy.
And that's like not a school's business either.
Not a school's business.
That's definitely between you and your parents and your doctor. Like, mm-hmm. probably just like, well, is our counselor not enough for you? Didn't we talk? I think we talked about therapy in our last episode too. Hold on. We need to switch topics.
We did.
What else do we want to put up on this episode today, boy? Some words of wisdom from Virgo Energy. Take it away.
Mantras. I really, really like mantras. And I love this Instagram account that makes them, because I'm lazy. And I just like to find other people's mantras. And when that resonates with me, I like write it down. So the Instagram account is The Mantra Co. And Virgo season mantras. So the first one is, I understand that not everything needs to be perfect to still be wonderful. That's a good one. I like that. For the perfectionists out there. The next one is, I choose to love my body no matter what it looks like or how it changes. Oh, that's such a good one too. Especially right now, because we're all like losing weight, putting on weight, whatever. Who gives a shit? Love your body. The next one is, I allow myself to be seen. Old insecurities are replaced with confidence. Next is, my ability to conquer my challenges is limitless. My potential to succeed is infinite. And then, I am open to receiving abundance in all positive and loving ways, each and every moment of each and every day. Oh no, there's one more. I'm doing my best. That is all I can expect of myself. I think that one's my favorite. I'm doing my best, and that's all I can expect of myself.
That's a really good thing to try to remember any day. And like, it's hard. It's hard to settle or feel like you're settling when you feel like you're capable of so much more.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like the overarching theme is just like perfectionism has like made me sick before, because I just got so upset about how I thought I was or wasn't productive, or I did something wrong, or it wasn't good enough. And that can like ruin my day all the time. So I like those mantras.
So I hope that you guys take those and pull some energy from them for this season, because as we are nearing the election, more and more people's mental health is probably going to slowly decline. There's no good way to put that. It's the truth. I hope that you guys enjoyed that episode. Probably going to have to adjust our recording schedule a little bit, especially as it gets later in the fall season or whatever, just because I don't know about you, but I'm full on preparing for like another wave of depression. I just fucking know it's going to happen.
Yep. I'm just building myself up as much as I can before it happens.
Yeah, like I'm just trying to get the little tiny bit of serotonin that I can out of each day. It's very small. It's there, but it's small.
Hibernation.
Yeah, pack away some happiness for hibernation the way that Rose has been packing away her snacks for hibernation, she said.
Exactly.
Before I forget, please check our Instagram and our, I think, description box, whatever, for this. But Alex actually finally launched her website for her candle company this weekend, so now it's even easier for people to place orders. And I burned the Virgo candle today. Oh my God, it smells so good. The whole house smelled good from this tiny little candle.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. So make sure you guys go and get you a Virgo candle, get you a Libra candle to be fucking prepared.
She just launched a purple one.
No, that's the Dump Him candle.
The Dump Him, that is
so it's like lavender. It's got like goodbye fuckboy energy.
That is so fucking funny.
I know, dude. I love it. I meant to say this in the beginning of the podcast because I want as many people as possible to go find her website, but it's so cute and she did such a good job and she was nervous and I just think that it turned out great and I just like, it's very exciting to have like a storefront, like a real storefront online. So yeah. Go show her some love. Go applaud her for that. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. There are so many of you. Where are you?
Right?
Speak to us.
Oh, please. I had somebody reach out to me, to my Instagram. It was a few days ago. Let's see.
Give them a shout out.
Let's see. Okay. I really hope that I am not butchering your Instagram name, but Amaya the Herbist reached out and she said that she was listening to our episode 23 and that we all love the same cottagecore aesthetic and that somebody else wanted to live in a black A-frame house like me. I'm not alone in the world.
I love that. God, a black A-frame house would be so pretty. God.
In the Rocky Mountains.
It'd be so fucking exciting. Yeah. But yeah, all of our at information will be down below. I'm at Lil Witch with 3 H's. Our Instagram is at the Witchful Thinking Podcast. And I will link Rose's shop. Put that on there too. I'm so tired. Are you tired?
Yeah, I need some work. Okay, also, did I already say this in the podcast? I'm starving this Virgo season, and I feel like I've been so productive that I'm, like, eating more. Yeah. I know we ended this, but if you're snacking like me, don't feel bad. It's Virgo season.
Pack away them goodies. A long depression winter nap. Okay, that's not nice of me. I gotta chill. Okay, for real. We love you guys and we will talk to you again or talk with you, talk at you. We will be back.
You'll hear our voices again.
You'll hear from us. You will hear us. Bye.